Welcome the fuck back to Just a Time Machine.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's my new intro. That's it. Nailed it.
We've been struggling for an intro, and I think you just nailed it, dude. I think that's the one.
Welcome back. I'm on one a heater. I feel toasty. I went on a walk today. I think I got sunburnt. I just hasn't set in yet. So I'm hot physically, and I'm hot.
You look kind of rosy. You look nice.
Yeah. I think it was fucking hot as shit down here today.
Oh yeah.
And now it's like breezy. It's weird.
California.
What happened to your headset? What happened to your
knows how to party?
Did you get new headsets?
Oh, so funny story. So I got a new phone. My other phone shit the bed, like literally in my hands. It died in my hands.
Oh, and I had so to watch.
I had to watch a phone I had for 4 years pass away in my home.
Oh god.
So I had to get a new one like immediately, and I realized that new phones don't come with headphone jacks anymore.
Oh yeah, that's a thing.
So
yeah.
these are my exercise buds. Nice. They're the ones I use when I work out.
Nice. All right.
I use them about once a month.
Did you ever? I don't know if you told Mark, but like, did you ever figure out how to switch your phone back from trying to get you to text like in Italian? Is that what it was doing? Like, when it switched your keyboard up and everything?
Yes. So that was a part of its dying process.
it turned Italian before it died.
Like a jab at like what it was doing. It literally said like, I think it said like Italian mode or something. Like,
oh wow. I think my granddad did that before he passed away as well.
Yeah.
Just went into Italian mode.
My phone wanted me to die with my people.
With my people.
So it was like, hey, let's bury him Italian style.
Viva Italia.
Which everybody knows is you cover your casket in marinara.
You go out like a chicken parm.
Add it out with prosciutto.
Yeah, a little shaved Parmesan.
Some guy hovers over your casket and says, like, say when. grades it on there.
Oh, it's Italian. So he hovers over your casket and says, that'll be $20.
Dude, I want someone to just stand over my casket and grade Parmesan until someone says when, because my wife will never say when. She'll just let it go. Just rain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 6 feet deep in Parmesan.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so
That poor Olive Garden waiter.
It's my turn just to have an annoyance, and I have a major one. Well, it's a major one for me. You guys are probably like, really? That's it? It fucking annoys me. So before this, I was explaining to Mark how fucking massive the mall is that I work at. With the current expansions and everything, it's basically like a mile long from like parking lot to parking lot.
It has its own zip, right?
Yeah, they renamed the streets around it less than a year ago to like give it its own like address area.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's freaking huge. And I still get calls about where are you located, and I'm like, I don't know how you can't find this.
You can see us from space.
You can literally see us on like it's there on Google Maps, like as a fixture, it says it. And people are like, I don't know where your mall is. And I'm like, oh my God.
You're the ninth wonder of the world after China, the female wrestler.
Exactly. After China, the female
wrestler. She's eight.
But the thing that annoys me the most, other than like, where are you located? Because I also get that specific question about my store. And my store's been there. My store opened in 2000. So my store's been there for 21 years. And people still are like, oh, where are you located? And the second I name something that's like, 15 years newer than us, they're like, oh, I know where that is. I'm like, okay.
Right. It's by the old mill.
Yeah, like, I don't know what you want. But the thing that annoys me the most, and I don't know if this is an outdoor mall thing versus an indoor mall thing, but people will come into my store and I'm like ready to help them. I'm like, hey, how's it going, guys? Welcome in. And they're like, hey, where's the bathroom? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't care. Like, I'm not a directory. Or they're like, oh, where's Brandy Melville? Where's Target? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I do know. Like, I actually know where most everything is. I just don't want to answer. Right. And I'm just like, I don't know. Everything's fucking that way, bro. Like,
you're giving me the worst kind of flashbacks right now. Because
am I?
When we opened Fifth Avenue, and CJ can attest to this, but a part of not necessarily our roles, but we had to train the greeters at the very front to become kind of like walking, talking directories.
Tour guides. We call them tour guides.
Right. And that was partly because of the high level of tourism. You know, we were right around the corner from the Rockefeller Center. Okay. We're on Fifth Avenue. So fair enough. There was people, you know, coming to the area purely for those reasons. But the most insane amount of traffic would come in asking for the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then giving us like the level of grief that these people bestowed upon us when we told them that we didn't have a public restroom was, yeah. Well, we started out with a public restroom. Remember, CJ, on Top Man? Mm-hmm. And it was
we had one on each floor that were eventually used for storage. So at the end of our reign there, only one functioning bathroom was working on the second floor, because that's what the principal shopping department uses the restroom.
That's right.
Everyone had to go to the second floor to use the bathroom.
Yeah. Top of this, I have, dude, the funniest anecdote. Okay, so we had this boss when we first started. Mark and I started on equal terms, and he quickly rose up the ranks above me. And we started off with this one boss, and I'll never forget what he said to this person when they walked in and asking for the bathroom. He turned like slowly, faced the person, and went, "If you can make it in, you can make it out."
Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, "I'm saying that forever, dude. That's awesome."
Well,
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
No one was employed to maintain these bathrooms. So yeah. They ended up getting into a really bad state. Like Fifth Avenue tourist customers from all parts of the world. We're not leaving this toilet in good condition.
Well, and you guys aren't in I'm not familiar with Fifth Avenue, but like you guys, that's not a mall. You're just a shop on the street, right? Like in a shopping district.
Yeah, like Fifth Avenue is you've got everything that we're on the corner of Saks.
Yeah.
You've got Saks, Tiffany's.
But like, so granted, like we're kind of the size of a mall. Like they were four floors, like 90,000 square feet. It was a big building. Yeah. So it kind of feels like a mall when you're in there.
Yeah.
And then, there was this other thing where I had an associate once, and I was asking her like, "Hey, what happened with that customer?" Cause she walked away really quickly. And she was like, "This lady just came and asked me a question, spit on the floor and then walked away." And I was like, "I don't know how to react." And I was like, "Oh, take a break. That's how you react.
Take a break, yeah.
Like, go take a break. I'll clean the spit. Like, get the fuck out of here. Because obviously that's fucking crazy."
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, at my mall, like, it's a mall. So there are public bathrooms. Like, obviously I don't have one in my store. We do maintain ours because it's for us. And where my store is located, like, there are two bathrooms pretty much equidistant to each other, like from my store. So like in the beginning, I used to be, very accommodating, and I was like, "Okay, well, which way are you guys heading? Like, I can tell you exactly where it is." And I would always get like, "Oh, it doesn't fucking matter." And I'm like, "Well, it does fucking matter, because I can send you to that one. And then you're going to tell me that you're fucking going that way." Like, and I'm trying to be nice. And then like that would just happen so much. I'm like, "You know what? I don't fucking care, man. It's that way. Figure it out. Like, I don't fucking care. Find it like everything else." And then like, in current climates where we have to like hold the door, so I have like someone outside, like, or myself, and I get like everybody and their fucking grandma walking by like, "Where's this?" I'm like, "I don't know. Where's this? I don't know. Are you getting in line for my store? Then fuck off." Like, and I was like, "I don't have time to fucking help you. There's a directory 10 feet over there." Like,
yeah, it almost makes me want to say like, "Dude, like, fucking shit your pants, dude. Like, shit him. Like, let me see. Like, how bad is it? Like, you gonna shit your pants? We'll do it.
Like, play chicken with the customer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put your money where your mouth is. Put your shit where your underwear is. Like, let's see it, dude. Like, you gotta go to the bathroom so bad. Fucking prove it, buddy.
Yeah, prove it to me. Like, show me what you got. Yeah.
Let's see it."
Like, no, I remember we would turn customers away and say, "There is no bathroom, you know, for public use."
Yeah.
And then people would go and just like urinate in the changing rooms.
No way.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Really? Everything you can imagine. Like, someone pooped in a bag and then left it in the denim department.
What?
I remember that.
At least it was in the denim, but like,
somebody pissed on a pile of clothes on the ground floor in the ground floor fitting rooms. I remember that too.
No way.
No, they like literally made a toilet out of clothes.
I never want to live in New York ever. Like, what the fuck do you live in, Mark?
We would have to do, you know, we would like walk all of the fitting rooms, because on the second floor there was something like 18 fitting, you know, 18, 20 fitting room cubicles. It was pretty big. Yeah. And, you know, if you were the closing manager, you had to walk everyone individually to make sure that there was no one in there. There was no tags, whatever.
There's
and
there no was... feces or fucking urine or like a Dude, baby.
I went in one time and there was a used sanitary towel like stuck to the wall.
Oh my God. Jesus, turned into my mind just being blown. Like, I'm like, okay, like I damaged out like an item the other day because like a baby like used it as a pacifier. I was like, ew, it's slobbery. And then like I just picturing like Mark running up to CJ and be like, this is all piss.
Like, that was welcome to New York, Cody.
Yeah, CJ, like, this has poop on it.
Mark, it's the weirdest thing because there's these stories that you're telling. I successfully blocked them out of my memory, and now I have to see my therapist again.
I'll be like, CJ, this item has piss on. Should I do 10, 15% off? What do you think?
It's a little stinky, but not too bad. Like,
this item's number one, literally.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess that's not as bad as me not telling people where the bathroom is. At least they're not using my store as it.
Cody, did that help you out a little bit? Maybe
a little bit. I feel a little better. Okay. I do feel a little better. But okay. Yeah. I just don't like
you,
I just don't like being a directory, man. Like I got in trouble. I got a little bit of trouble for it recently because like the way I said something, and I just told my DM, I'm like, dude, I'm not a directory. Like I don't fucking care. Like
you should wear one of those sandwich boards. Just like the director, you know?
Yeah, just like it's not my job. Like you want shoes, I got you. Like you want to know where something is in this fucking zoo? I don't know, dude. I don't know where the fucking parrots are. Like,
the sandwich board should just say like, ask me about Google Maps.
Right, like,
oh, I'll tell you. Do you have a phone? Yeah, get right on that sucker.
Yeah. Do you need help? I'll help you with how to learn to use your phone. Like,
yeah, show me your phone. I'll show you Google Maps.
I'd rather do that because then I never have to see you again. Jeez. Okay. Well, yeah, you guys definitely made me feel. I feel very small right now. Like my problems are nothing. Like, because I'm not going to get feces off of shirts or like. Just I'm not taking a fucking turd out of a shoe or something. Like,
Cody, you are important. You're valued. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, this is
I feel bad for you guys. You guys, there's a war zone over there.
Well, neither of us are doing it anymore. So that's something.
But yeah. God, dude, that's. Yeah. All right. Come on, let's
take a quick break. A little roll of toilet paper in my back pocket. Just in case.
Just in case. Not for you, but for something else.
Oh, that's not for my butt. That's for your butt, friend.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get this going.
Sounds good.
All right. Okie dokie. All right. So this
welcome
week,
the fuck back.
Yeah, welcome the fuck back to Justice Time Machine.
Wait, we didn't do the JT. Mm.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Welcome back to JT. So I'm not loving it. So this week we're gonna be covering I guess like a pretty topical like thing going on right now, which is kind of just like, you know, police brutality and the aftermath of what it does in a whole, I guess, in a nutshell. Is that like the right way to phrase this, what we decided on?
Yeah. I think this episode is really kind of instilled upon anti-police brutality.
Yeah.
And specifically in one city of Los Angeles.
So we're focusing mainly on LA.
Yeah.
And I think Mark, you know, off air, you put this perfectly, kind of like we mapped these episodes a few weeks ago, like a month ago. Not really knowing that this would kind of line up very, you know, perfect. I don't know if perfectly is the right word, but line up very strategically.
Right.
With what's going on right now, fitting is the right word. It lined up very fitting with what is happening. With the child.
Yeah, it's definitely serendipity that we imagine this, and then because we planned this out like what, 3 months ago, fellas, something like that.
Not 3 months ago, like 3 weeks plus, a month ago.
Sorry, I have no semblance of time.
Apparently, then, you're living in January.
Oh, that was a great month. But I think that it's really interesting that this topic came up at this specific time.
Yeah,
with everything going on in the news. So, I think the first thing we should do is kind of apologize if this strikes chords for anybody and give a little trigger warning. Warning at the beginning of this episode that this is unfortunately topical.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. We don't usually do trigger warnings, but yeah, this one is definitely kind of heavy with what's going on right now. We want to be, you know, mindful and sensitive to it, but it wasn't the intention to line this up with what's happening at the moment. So what I'm going to start with...
Good luck, Cody!
Thanks! Yeah, you moved me to the front. Okay. So what I'm going to start with is basically covering a little bit of the Watts riots, the LA riots of 1965, that lasted for 6 days following the questionable arrest of, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. I'm gonna say Marquis. It's spelled Marquette, but it's French. It's spelled French, so it's Marquette. So I would say Marquis. Marquis Fry, and also Jace Gaines, Jace Gaines. So their arrests sparked a huge conflict. I'm just gonna say on Thursday, because Thursday was kind of the beginning of this 6 day stretch. So Marquis Fry was pulled over for allegedly drunk driving, and was kind of like forcibly arrested. His mom kind of got involved. There was a lot of over excessive force used in his arrest. And then during his arrest, the public got involved, and that's where Joyce Gaines, a pregnant woman, got arrested for allegedly spitting on a policeman who they then dragged her out of her car to arrest her while she was basically, I think, like 8 months pregnant, which just like literally got the community like instantly fired up. That just caused like immediate chaos. So by 7:45 that night, locals were already like throwing rocks and bricks and anything else they can get at vehicles and traffic, and like pulling white people out of their cars and already beating them by that evening, just in retaliation to what was going on. The following morning, everyone was already released by that morning. I'm not really sure if there was anything else pending, but they were released that morning. The community held a meeting to decide like what to do, like in reaction to this kind of like police action, but it quickly fell apart and turned really violent. Especially when like a young man stepped up and said like, basically like, we're marching and we're fighting. He kind of like this like teenager or like young adult, like took the charge and basically incited everyone, and everyone just kind of like went with it. So basically this is day two and it just continued, and that is like really when it sets off. Well, it's kind of like day one and a half. So police were dispatched to kind of like help like quell this. Local leaders were requesting to like for them to release, like not release, but send out more Black officers kind of to help, you know, with like make it sympathetic and, you know, relate to the community. But Chief William Parker refused. This guy's like the biggest fucking asshole of this, Chief William Parker. He just refused for no reason, like just to send Black cops. Like they're like, he could have done it. It's like, I don't know why, like it's the easiest thing to do, but he was just like, nah, like that's, I'm not gonna do that. He decided to send in the National Guard instead. And refer to this as like a legitimate war zone, which he compared to Vietnam.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Sorry to interject, Cody, but like.
No, I was waiting for someone to interject. And I was like, I need someone to fucking get in here. Like,
a war zone, dude? Like, have you ever been in war? No, you're just a dumb dude with a high school education that wants to go to war, but wasn't good enough to be accepted. So yeah. You treat everything like it's a fucking emergency. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I think timing is also just my brain thinks in timeline.
Yeah.
And dates. So like, this is 1 year after the Civil Rights Act has just been.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like that was 1964, and then it was expanded upon in 1968. But, you know, this is 1 year after.
Yeah. And I think that's a fucking huge point, Mark, because like the racism is still in the air on this. Like,
right.
Not only is he referring to this as basically Vietnam, but like he's also calling this, like he's referring to the rioters as monkeys in a zoo. And
oh my God,
it is blaming Muslims. He's also blaming Muslims as instigating the violence.
It's a full-time job being racist. Like the mental gymnastics that you have to go through.
Yeah, yeah.
To like justify what you're doing is crazy.
Yeah. And even Governor Brown at the time referred to them as gorillas fighting with gangsters. Not gorillas as in monkeys, but as in guerrilla like warfare.
Gorilla,
like,
okay.
Again, making this connection to like, this is a war zone and we're going to retaliate with war efforts. Yeah. But also,
that you have to clarify that too, Cody.
I know, right. Like, I'm just, yeah. It's just like, this is like, when I was reading this, I was like, what fucking logic is that? Like, this isn't Vietnam. These aren't guerrilla fighters. Like, these are fucking people. And they're pissed. Like, it's just fucking...
Take a drink.
Yeah.
Take a drink.
So, okay, so this part I found very ironic. So, day two of this riot lands on Friday the 13th.
Oh.
Yeah, and it, like, this is where everything goes... Like, it starts to like go full like keel 100%. This is also
Jason Voorhees shows up, starts doing
exactly, starts slashing everyone.
I'll tell you one thing about Jason Voorhees: not racist. I'll tell you that right now,
not racist at all. Equal opportunist. So Friday the 13th is also the day of the first death in the riots. And it wasn't even a rioter. Like, this was a young bystander who got caught in a crossfire between rioters and police and was shot incidentally, but it was also unfortunately just fuel for the fire of everything going on. This is also when the rioters really started to spread, reaching like way outside the borders of LA itself. So these riots in whole, the Watts riots, Watts was like the place where it started. These riots actually hit Pasadena, Pacoima, Monrovia, Long Beach, and even all the way down to San Diego on a much lower scale. But Long Beach actually got pretty bad, where they actually sent 200 National Guardsmen to support Long Beach police. So they were literally right outside your door, CJ. Like,
yeah, I'm like, a Long Beach resident. Yeah,
like... I thought that was pretty crazy reading it. I'm just like, I'm picturing like your street just fucking like ablaze. Like,
and... Well, even more recently for like things that happened, you know, just a few months ago, like we had Long Beach was on fire for a little bit again.
Was it?
Yeah. They burned down the men's warehouse.
Holy shit.
Yeah, rioters broke, I think it was like a Walgreens or CVS or something like that.
I didn't hear about any of this.
Yeah. There was a lot of shit recently.
Dang. Apparently someone didn't got a suit they didn't like and they didn't love it.
Because the old spokesman's gone, so he's not guaranteeing it anymore.
Ah, damn.
You're going to like the way you look, I guarantee it, guy is gone. So they didn't like the way they looked and it wasn't guaranteed.
Well. I got my suit for my wedding from them, and I liked it. It was good. I wouldn't burn them down.
Oh, you look so fucking fantastic on your wedding day, Cody.
Thank you.
Don't let anybody take that away from you.
I will not be attacking my local men's warehouse. So
market was purple.
It was burgundy.
Yeah, purpley.
Okay,
nice. Purpley.
But yeah, so they sent 200 National Guardsmen down to support the Long Beach police. This was spreading very, very fast. Like, even just thinking that it went down to San Diego is just crazy. But on a much minor scale, like, it didn't get nearly as bad in San Diego. Also, the way that they just, like, listed everything, it was just a weird jump from, like, Long Beach, San Diego. And, like, there's a lot in between those two. But apparently it just jumped right over there. So I personally, from what I was reading, I would say Saturday, the 14th is when like shit really hit the fan. This is where like fires and injuries were in full like swing, just like fires were popping up everywhere. People were getting injured left and right. Firefighters were being blocked as well as EMTs from getting to any kind of service. Like they just, that's like when you see like a lot of pictures of the fire trucks spraying people in the Watts riots, like it was literally because they couldn't get I'm not defending them, but they could not get to the fires. Like people were blocking them, and like I think their mentality was like, I'm gonna like spray you out of the way, which is stupid. Like that doesn't fix the problem, but like that's what it sounded like when I was reading this. Is like they just started spraying people because they couldn't get to the fires.
I can kind of explain the distance too, which is like the distance between Long Beach and San Diego.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of those communities in the 80s weren't really fully formed. So Southern Orange County really developed in the 1990s.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then also Carlsbad and like Oceanside and Camp Pendleton. Camp Pendleton was literally just a military training facility.
Yeah, San Clemente was probably nothing.
Like... Yeah, San Clemente was like, what's that bar we go to in San Clemente? Like,
Oh, Big Helens?
Big Helens. Yeah, Big Helens was not there for sure.
Yeah, good. Good.
And so these were developing communities that weren't really built up. So the only sites to go to actually have like a population that was significant enough to cause trouble were San Diego, Orange County, LA.
That makes sense. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Point. Yes, that's a good point. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, fellas.
Thank you. No, because like I didn't really put that together. I was like, wow, there's so many cities between Long Beach and here. But like, you're right. Like a lot of Southern Orange County, like, I mean, you, CJ, you and me talk about this all the time. Like North County, South County, like South County is so new. It's fucking new. That's like literally the reason is it's fucking new.
Oh yeah. It might as well be built on like Indian burial grounds or Native American burial grounds. Like it's the same thing.
Definitely it's is. Built on- there's a trail down the street from my house that like has a sign.
Yeah, if Irvine didn't exist, it would be the most beautiful orange and avocado trees you've ever seen.
Yeah, that's why it's called Orange County. But
oh.
So where was I? Oh, okay. So yes, firefighters can't get to the fires. EMTs can't get to the injured. People are literally at this point ripping the sidewalks apart to use as like weapons. Like
how do you do that?
I have no idea. I can't imagine it.
A jackhammer, guys.
Dude, like they're fucking shit up. Like I can't imagine. Like everyone, I just pictured like a line down the street of like little green hulks, like just ripping the concrete from the ground and just chucking it everywhere. Like this shit sounds bananas to me.
If there's ever an instance of like fucking white male privilege, it's right now. Because I've never been angry enough to like rip a sidewalk out.
Oh yeah, like
I couldn't imagine like what that person must be going through to say like this shit needs to stop.
Yeah.
To rip a fucking sidewalk.
This curb is coming off and I'm using it as a weapon. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like, God.
That's,
yeah, I know
that's you. That's kind of, that says something really fucking poignant that we can't understand.
That's, in our that's position. Anger and like a need for justice to your core.
Right. Right.
Kind of thing. And we'll never understand it. And I mean, yeah, like for, you know, unfortunately, we will never understand it, but we're going to try our best, but
yeah.
So let's see. Okay. So yeah, authorities at this point were barricading off like certain sections of LA, literally to the point where like there were signs posted up by the police that said turn left or get shot.
What? You're fucking joking.
I'm not fucking joking. They were literally telling people like, do not fucking come this way, or we're gonna shoot you.
Like we're aiming down the right alley. If you come down the right alley, we're already aiming. Like we're already aiming.
You're gonna get shot. So if you're not part of this, go the other way. Yeah. Jesus. Like it was getting really bad. One of the worst events, in my opinion, was the destruction of a certain mosque. Because like I said earlier, the police chief, William Parker, was also inciting and blaming Muslims for this.
Yeah.
Saying that they were taking opportunity for this. And there was one instance where the police surrounded a mosque because I don't even know why, because the people inside, I guess, were like supposed to be violent or something. Well, like, quote unquote.
Were they praying?
Yeah, they were like praying. doing what you do fucking in a mosque. Apple. And like, so from my understanding of this, no one actually inside died, but it sounds like everyone died when you hear what I'm gonna say. But like, it didn't say that these people were part of the death toll. So basically, them surrounding it and everything resulted in gunfire. The police also raided and ransacked the building next door and tear gassed the sewers so no one could escape. And then during this, the mosque got set on fire to the point of destruction. But not, like, it didn't say anyone died, so I don't know if people actually were able to get out, but they couldn't escape through the sewers because that was made sure for by the fucking cops.
That was somebody's idea. Somebody came up with that.
Somebody
went out there and said, hey, guess what? Hey, my racist fellows, let's get more racist. And tried this really shitty racist thing.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, oh, yeah, I do declare. Yes, absolutely.
I concur, doctor. Yes.
Let's get super racist about this thing.
Yeah.
Fucking
I mean, and to put a racist cherry on top of that racist Sunday, none of those officers were ever charged with anything. So, basically, by the end of these 6 days, luckily only 30, I don't want to say only 30 in disparity, but like luckily only 34 people were dead. Over 1,000 were injured and over 3,000 were arrested. There was also over $40 million of damage. Of those fatalities, 23 of the 34 were citizens shot by cops. Of the total 34, only 3 actually were sworn in, like, officers. So, and, like, since we're kind of, you know, going after the, you know, armed force, like, not for, but like, the police on this, I thought I would go into, like, how these 3 cops actually died, because none of these 3 cops, the only 3 that died during this, were killed by people. So, one of them, unfortunately, was a fire officer, or fireman, who was crushed by burning debris. Like, that really sucks. He was probably trying to do his job, and that's really unfortunate. The 2 police officers that were shot by other police officers' guns discharging at the wrong times. So the only 2 cops that were killed were killed by cops.
So what you're saying is, just, I'm trying to run the numbers. So 34 people sadly lost their lives during the 6 days.
Yes.
3 of those people were cops.
3 of those people were cops. Well, 2 of them were cops. 1 was a fireman.
They were like emergency service.
Yes.
Professionals.
Yes. And of and then of the 34, 23 of them were citizens shot by cops. But the cops were killed by other cops' guns. None of the cops were killed by the rioters.
Is it possible to get a sunburn for being angry? Because my face is so fucking red right now. This is impossible.
You made you said the words armed forces, Cody, kind of by mistake almost.
I did.
But those words are completely suitable to describe the police in America because they're militarized.
Militarized. No, you're right. Yeah.
When you talked about the sewer situation, that's a strategy that you would use in a true war zone. Like if you were trying to, you know, stop people from getting away, terrorists or whatever the case may be.
That's a tactical strategy that should not be used on civilians.
Highly tactical strategy. And this episode was actually going to, I found this really hard and heavy, but we have to fucking do this.
Yeah, I feel the timing of this is like in a sense perfect because like I feel like we're not you know on a massive platform, but like everyone who can talk about this should talk about this.
Everybody has to own it in some way.
Yeah,
and it's even if it's just not turning a blind eye to it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. And I think, you know, I said armed forces by mistake because of the usage of the National Guard. And that's what like got that word in my head. But
right.
I still think, like you said, it was fitting because like they
Freudian
are.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, the most perfect one. The most perfect Freudian slip ever. But yeah, and I think what really pissed me off at the end, like literally like in the last sentences that I wrote in my notes, to find out that none of these fucking cops were even killed by rioters, let alone only two were, and they like spent these 6 days blaming them for everything. And it's like, dude, like no one was even like you guys were barely even hurt. Like,
yeah. And to put up in some respects, obviously putting up a sign that says turn left or be shot or, you know, whatever the verbiage was.
Yeah.
Is horrific.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in the modern day, there isn't even a sign that says that anymore.
They're not even giving that courtesy.
Right.
Yeah. They're not even giving a warning to, like, you can live going the other way.
What's coming? Yeah.
Yeah.
And CJ, you're hanging in, bud.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Right. Well,
I'm keeping my trap shut because like every fiber of my being is saying like, dude, you're not my fucking boss. Like you don't fucking get to choose whether I live or die. Like you don't get to, you don't, it's not your choice. You're to serve and protect, not to fucking kill us if we get out of hand.
Does my boss have that right?
I just think, that like the fucking like conflict management in even us, like retail is so much more profound and is so much more educated and reasonable than conflict management in police. And it's, dude, you're not the fucking Gestapo. You don't get to choose whether I live or die.
That is a
you're
huge
supposed to help me.
That's a huge point, CJ, because I think it's crazy that conflict management and de-escalation training is so much better in people like us as retail managers than the fucking American police.
It's fucking like, crazy.
They have
dude.
Zero de-escalation training, apparently.
Like shove your gun up your stupid ass and fucking pull the trigger. I don't like get out of here with your stupid gun.
Yeah.
Like you don't have you shouldn't have a choice whether a citizen lives or dies based on your fucking hair trigger.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself. You're scared? I'm scared. You have a fucking gun. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm the one that's scared. You're the one with the gun. Fuck out of here.
Do they still call them Billy Clubs over there, Mark? Everyone just needs a Billy Club.
Billy Club or a baton.
A baton, yeah. Like, fuck, dude. You guys have been doing great over there for centuries with a fucking baton.
It's true, man. We, yeah, I mean, the average police officer walking the street just doesn't have a firearm.
Yeah, like, it's fucking fantastic. Know,
mace, like, and
it's not just a firearm anymore, too. They're full on like semi-automatic, like machine guns.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like they have like Humvees decked out with like turret cannons.
Yeah,
right.
Hot fuzz is the perfect representation of what the police should be.
Oh yeah, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Yes, like that's what a police officer should be.
Yeah,
like,
it's a perfect movie in so many respects.
It is. Okay, well, let's take a quick break. CJ is gonna come back. We're gonna jump forward a few years. CJ's gonna give us another really shitty time.
I'm getting that thing where I'm like getting the piss up in my neck thing, and I'm like, like stretching my neck.
Well, stretch it up. We'll be right back. Okay.
All right.
Hey guys, this is Cody and CJ from Justice Time Machine. Just doing another shout out for our buddy Eli who did our logo for the podcast. If you guys like what you saw with our logo and are looking for any kind of graphic design or logo work, he's really a reliable source to go to. It's ELIS_trashcan on Instagram. Really cool guy, really quick with his work and very talented. And, you know, he'll work within your budget. He's very understanding and reasonable. So yeah, reach out to him if you guys need any work done. It's definitely worth it, and have a good one.
Hi.
Hi.
Cool, wait, calm, sophisticated.
Collected.
You want something different?
Ooh. No, you're good. You're good.
You want me to do like a radio station guy?
Mm-mm-mm.
No.
Definitely not.
Hey, all you fellow time travelers. Welcome to another installment of Justice Time Machine, starring CJ, Cody, and Mark.
Yeah, I think my original choice of no was solid.
That's the one thing that
who's yelling back there?
Oh, that's my roommate. Does he have company? Oh, yeah, okay. He has company. Can you hear that? Is that bad? Are you picking it up?
No, she just got really loud for a second.
I could put like a towel in the door.
No, you're good. It'll be fine. Once we start riffing, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get into it. Trust me, fellas, we will. Okay, so Cody, your research was so fucking fantastic. Thank you for exploring the Watts riot of 1965.
I think all of the 80s just was a riot, and then
yeah.
Well, yeah, because of all the cocaine,
yeah, and the band Riot.
But, yeah. So we're going to fast forward a little bit. I think 29 years, 27 years, 27
okay.
years to 1992, the Los Angeles riot. So it was April 29th.
1992, the sequel.
Yeah. Part two, Charlie Sheen again. And so this podcast will actually post 4 days before the 30th anniversary of the LA riot.
Of 92.
The 92 LA riot.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
We couldn't have made it much more of a topical. We've tried to avoid being topical.
Yeah, we really do. Right. This whole thing's about like back in time, but we didn't really go back that far, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're still a time machine, and time machines work differently depending
on
how you want them to work.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes, you know, history repeats itself, and right now it's shitty and it is repeating.
Yeah, it's repeating itself every day. So let's get after it. And let's say, can we do me one favor? Just let's take a collective breath together before I do this.
Okay.
I think that would be nice.
Yeah, let's take a breath.
Let's all get in the downward dog. Cody, get you downward dog. Yeah, Mark, I don't see you doing it.
I already am. I spend the entire podcast.
We're actually looking up at Mark.
Yeah. Well, no. If Mark getting the downward dog, because I'm gonna fuck you with this information.
Oh, geez.
All right. So the tension in LA was literally mounting as the Rodney King trial was building.
Okay.
But a lot of people, you know, kind of like look at the Rodney King trial and start using that as an excuse for the tension in LA. But it was a lot more than that. So definitely it had Rodney King, and the murder of Latasha Harlan was basically voided of justice at the same time that these riots were happening. And a lot of people use that as kind of like the almost the boiling point or the apex.
The catalyst.
The catalyst. Thank you very much, Mark. Yeah, you're so smart. And but the riots lasted 6 days. It was widespread looting, assault, and arson across the metropolitan Los Angeles County.
Literally the same. Is a week the limit?
Yeah, basically. So when the dust settled on May 4th, 1992, after everything kind of stopped, after all this was going on, 63 people were killed, 2,383 people were injured, 12,000 people were arrested, and over $1 billion in damage was took place.
Wait, hold on. Hold the fuck on. So, okay, I got double the dead. How many injured and arrested?
Okay, so 2,383 people were injured, 12,000 were arrested.
Holy shit. Okay, so we're like double the deaths of the Watts, double the injuries of the Watts, I mean, quadruple the fucking arrested.
Yeah.
And you said how much in damages?
$1 billion.
Holy fuck. Mine was like, the Watts was like 40 million. Like,
and you want to know a fun story? One of the injured, one of the 2,383 people was my dad.
No way. What?
Yeah. Yeah. So, fun story. So, my dad has been in the game of furniture. That's what he calls it. I don't know.
does he think he's Ned Stark of fucking couches? Yeah. Like,
he calls it the furniture game, and I'm like, settle down. But the factory that made the furniture that he was selling was in downtown Los Angeles, and he got his fucking ass kicked like bad one day during the 1992 riots.
Dang.
And he came home literally like, you know, black eye, bloody nose, like swollen face, like all that shit. And I was like, Dad, what happened? And he was like, go to bed.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be in LA during this and you're white and bald, like, you're...
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't tanning as much as he was now.
Yeah, he's a little darker nowadays.
Yeah, he's tanning real hard now.
Yeah, maybe he's like, never again. Never again.
My dad used to be super white, so yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well,
so
anyone whose favorite drink is a screwdriver is pretty white.
Oh no, my dad doesn't drink screwdrivers. He drives screws. Like, that is the most vodka per orange juice I've ever seen in my life.
He throws the orange juice over his shoulder and then just drinks the vodka.
he pours his vodka in the glass and thinks about orange juice.
Oh, him and my grandpa would be great friends.
They would. So, back on the case. So we're going to start with what caused the tension in LA between the public and the police.
Okay.
So there was a chief of police named Daryl Gates. He was the former LAPD chief of police, and he had the rank of general, and he was a very disputed police chief.
There's a general in the police?
Yeah, he was a general because he's a former military man.
Okay.
So he still had the ranking. So he's almost like a 4-star police chief kind of thing.
All right, general, colonel, deputy, fuckhead.
Like, yeah, what is it with what? That too? Like, I don't know. Just go home and jerk off. How many stars on your fucking chest do you need?
Yeah, dude, you're a cop. You just be a cop. Like,
yeah, just be a cop.
Fuck.
I don't care about all your fucking diamonds.
Like, I don't care if you're the assistant to the fucking district manager. Like,
yeah. When I see all those shit, all that shit on somebody's chest, is like, just wear a pinky ring and get it over with.
Like, yeah.
Look at you, dude.
It's like what I put in the fucking post for Idi Amin. Or, I didn't put it in. I was gonna be like, everyone just wear all these fucking badges and they look really uncomfortable. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's got to be a lot of upkeep. Like, how much steaming or what's the other thing? Ironing do you have to
fucking
do?
Heavy.
Fuck out of here. Anyway, so this is the chief that started the DARE program. And oh, Mark, fuck. I don't know if you know about the DARE program, but it's
yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay. Cool.
Did you
explain it?
It makes you do drugs.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
People come to your school when you're in eighth grade and say, like, listen, drugs are amazing, but one day they'll kill you. And I'm like, one day?
Let's find out. It doesn't sound like tomorrow.
You don't know which day. Let me keep doing them.
They dare you to do the drugs.
Yeah, and they show you these videos with what's his name, Gruff the Crime Dog.
McGruff.
And yeah, he's a dog, a basset hound in a trench coat.
No, he's a dog in a trench coat that looks like he's selling drugs.
Yeah.
Right. Or flashing people.
Yeah, yeah. He flashes you with fucking heroin syringes.
Yeah. One side has like a litany of watches and the other side of the trench coat just has like a bunch of bags of heroin.
Exactly. Yeah, DARE sucks.
Yeah, fuck you, dog. Anyway, so the DARE stood for Drug Abuse Resistance Education. Like the DARE shirts, I still have my DARE shirt from eighth grade.
And I've seen you wear it recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It still fits, which is a testament. Hey, kid, don't drink a lot of coffee when you're young because you'll stop growing.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you fit into that?
Yeah.
I have the same body as eighth grade. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, I don't think I don't think you have the same belly as the eighth grade.
Well, that's a good point, Cody.
But it still fits. I've seen you in it, and I didn't know it was that old.
Eighth grade.
Damn.
It's a size large. Still a size large.
You sweet boy. You sweet baby boy.
I'm not weak.
No, I said sweet.
Oh, sweet. I thought you said weak baby boy.
No, you're a very strong baby.
Thank you. Yeah, I am a strong baby. Thank you, Cody. I'll grab your finger with my hand. So
this bit my fucking drink.
So this guy, he started a special order 40, which made it illegal to stop people and ask for their immigration status. Which could be like, I mean, yeah, but like, why not always? Like, why was that like a problem that you need to make a thing for?
I mean, at least, but I mean, like, it's, you know, nothing's a law until it's a law. So, I mean, like, you know, at least he did something.
But still, I just, I don't want to give too much credence to this police chief.
No, I know. But
he made it illegal to stop somebody based on their image, just to question them for their immigration status.
But not to beat the shit out of them if they're black.
But right. Previously to that, it was legal to do so.
Right. So let's get into... So he did that thing, but let's get into why it was so tumultuous.
Okay.
So he ran the LAPD like a military, because he was a military man.
Well, he was a general.
And whatever, I don't care. We sold auto insurance. Get the fuck out of here. So he turned a blind eye basically to police abuses. And the mayor, Tom Bradley at the time, asked him to resign following the Rodney King beating.
Oh, okay. So immediately after the beating, he was already asked to quit.
He was asked to resign and he refused. So,
it was a request.
So this is a really cool part, is the local Congress got together and drafted this thing called the Christopher Commission. And it was published on July 10th, 1991. And the Christopher Commission listed all the awful shit that the Los Angeles Police Department was up to. Ooh. And here's some of the things. Repeated use of excessive force, failure to manage out the abusing officers, 1,800 reports of excessive force and improper tactics. 183 of those officers were involved in those allegations, four or more. So 183 of those 1,800 people had allegations that were four or more.
Jeez.
46 had six or more, 16 had eight or more, and one had 16 allegations. One LAPD officer had 16 excessive force allegations with no recourse at all. Like, no management.
Fuck?
So there was one guy beating like 16 different people with excessive force, committing police brutality, and there was no recourse. Nobody like managed him out, managed, did something. Like, if somebody fucked up at work once, I'll write you up.
Yeah.
I'll put it on the record. Like, you fuck up twice, fine, you'll get another write-up. You fuck up three times, you're fucking out of here, son.
You fuck up 16 times, you get a fucking plaque on the wall.
Like, 16, you're, like, reverse fired and, like, running the company or something? I don't know how that works. Like, it's like a Mobius strip at the end of the day. I don't know how it works. But, like, you fuck up 16 times and you still have a job? You shouldn't have a fucking job after three, dude.
Yeah. Like, fuck, dude. Like, oh, God. I just don't get it. Like, I feel like, you know, I'm probably going to have to say that I'm going to want to say this again when Mark starts getting into it, but like, and I don't know what it's like to be hired as an officer, but is there not like a fucking psych test or a fucking like character, like an evaluation of like, why the fuck do you want to do this? Like, are you an aggressive person? Do you like violence?
The biggest argument is like, why isn't there a degree involved? Like, why don't you have to graduate from some sort of academy that requires something a little bit more impactful than a high school degree? Like, why don't you go to college and then figure out if you want to fucking oppress people your whole life?
Like, there should be a psych degree involved in this, not a police academy thing where it's like you go through some fucking hurdles and learn how to use a gun, and then you graduate from the police academy. Like, this is fucking bullshit. Yeah. You have no idea who these people are that you're fucking handing a weapon to.
Academy is basically learning how to make friends with other awful people. Yeah. You learn how to like, hey, and that's the best friend I ever made. Like, also a fucking lunatic.
It's a cesspool of the same like-minded individuals. And I think I read this during the BLM protests last year, but I'm pretty certain, and I can be obviously corrected on this, but I think it's, you know, you spend more hours becoming a teacher than you do becoming a police officer.
I believe it. Yeah, that's crazy.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah,
you're going into a classroom with like the children, and you have prepared yourself more for that event than you have to possess a gun and to hold people accountable to the law.
I know, and that's a great point, Mark. Because I know two people. I know one personally who is becoming a teacher, and I know one who became a cop in the past. And, you know, he became like a SWAT officer. And I will tell you right now, the one becoming a teacher has been going through so much more than the one who became a SWAT officer.
Yeah.
Like, and that's fucking weirdly unbalanced. And that's not, like, it doesn't make any fucking sense, like, at all.
All right. So, guys, let's get back into it.
Sorry. Yeah. Go.
Okay, so less than 2% of the 1,800 that were accused of allegations actually had any action taken to investigate their actions. So less than 2% of the allegations had action taken to investigate, not persecute or, you know, They didn't even look into it.
Cool.
They didn't even try.
Cool.
It was these guys have apparently martial law on the city of LA. Like, it's bullshit. So the waters are really unsettled in LA at this point because people fucking hate the cops. Obviously, people hate the cops because they're literally like they're guns for hire at this point. So 3 days after the Christopher Commission came out, Daryl Gates resigned like a bitch.
Of course he did.
He saw the report come out and he was like, "Oh, you guys have been watching me the whole time? Like, yeah, I'm out of here." I'm out of here. And he's a fucking pussy. So he was replaced by Willie Williams, who was the first Black LA police chief.
Oh, what a cute name.
Yeah, Willie Williams. I love it. Bill Williams.
Billy Bill.
He was the first Black LA police chief and the first Black commissioner of Philadelphia.
Hell yeah.
So this guy knows a thing or two about cities in unrest.
Wait, So he was the police commissioner of Philly, and then stepped down to chief of LA.
No, well, it's a bigger city. It's
jurisdiction. Kind
of, bigger, yeah, okay, yeah. So it's like
way more
like,
people.
Sit down position, but like bigger upgrade. Okay, yeah, got it.
Okay, right. So back to Daryl Gates and like this whole thing of like how all this shit got started. So in 1984, the Olympics came to Los Angeles, and the mayor's office was really worried about the crime in LA at this point in 1984. So they appointed Daryl to kind of come up with a scheme to prevent crime during the Olympics. And he came up with this thing called the Operation Hammer. And it was an anti-gang task force that targeted Black and Latino residents of Los Angeles County.
Super.
Like literally in the verbiage, Black and Latino residents of Los Angeles County. Mm. It wasn't, you know, trying to hide any nuances. Right. It literally targeted.
They knew what they were doing.
It had a racial bias to it. So during Operation Hammer from 1984 to 1990, over 50,000 people were arrested in raids that were instigated by racial profiling. And reports of police brutality during those 6 years went up by 33%. The arrest numbers of the Watts riots in 1965 were 4,000 compared to 50,000 in 1992.
That's crazy.
So to summarize, like it just that point, good cops aren't good cops if they don't report bad cops.
Right.
That's fucking perfect. Like, dude, that's perfect. Because like my main thing with like what's been going on today, especially like with, you know, the trial going on right now for George Floyd, is like, what's the, Mark, you said his name. What's the guy's name that
killed him? Derek Chauvin.
Chauvin. Yeah, fucking idiot.
Chauvin.
It's the cops, his partners who were around at the time, get the fuck in there and stop him.
Right.
Like, report your fellow officers doing shitty things. That, and with that, it's not even reporting. It's like you were watching it. You couldn't even step in. You were there. And you couldn't even fucking get in and stop it. Like, if that was my partner, I would fucking run in and fucking Sparta kick that guy off of him. How is it that hard? How is it that hard to look at a situation and do the right fucking thing?
I think it was, I really don't want to misquote here. It was either Samuel L. Jackson or Will Smith. It was a prominent African-American actor that came out and said during, you know, the last year with the protests, and they said, you know, this shit has been happening forever. It's just the only difference now is that it's being filmed.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't say exactly who that was. It definitely sounds, I want to say it was one of them, Sam Jackson or Will Smith. I couldn't say for sure who said that, but
it's true. It's like
it's true. It's 100% true. Yeah, and then now with like the current case coming up of like that other fucking officer, what's her fucking name, Potter, or whatever,
the female officer that
that doesn't know how to pull a fucking taser versus a gun.
Sorry.
Like, it's like, dude, you don't know what a fucking your gun versus your taser feels like. Go back to fucking training. You shouldn't be a cop. Like.
Well, that's a really good argument too. It's like we shouldn't be talking about Devontae Wright. We should be talking about Potter. Like, Potter's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a lot of cases like this use the victim's name in the main part of the case, but like it's not. You know, if the case, like for example, the case is against Chauvin, nobody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's what we should be focusing on. Like this person was smiling and having a great time while suffocating a person to death. He's a literal fucking murderer.
Yeah.
Right.
And having a great time with it. So, like, no, put them on trial. Put these people on trial. Like I said earlier, you're not my fucking boss, dude. You're a cop. You're here to protect and serve me, not to get me in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, you're here to help me with my situation. Like, you're not the judge and jury. We have that because, you know, our system... Our American system, not you, Mark, sorry. Our American system was created to protect and serve and to support us if we need a proper trial by a jury of our own peers. Like, you don't get to be the jury at that point.
Right.
They're not. I'm glad they're the judge. They're the judge and executioner. There is no jury.
Right. No, you have to let me. You have to let me see a jury, you piece of shit. You can't kill me before I get that chance.
Well, and with Potter, like I don't know if you guys seen the video, but I watched the video of her shooting Dante, and like she sits there with the gun pointed, yelling "Taser, Taser, Taser," and it's like I can fucking tell that's not a Taser. Can you not tell that's not a Taser? You fucking pulled it. Do you not know what side each one is on? Yeah. Like.
They weigh a pound different from each other.
One has fucking bullets, you idiot. Like
work at Walgreens with all the other people. Like, what are you doing? Go work at like you shouldn't be a cop. Sorry,
and she's apparently 20 years on the force. I'm like, you don't know what a gun feels like.
No, it was one of those things that was thought up by all of her friends afterwards. Like, how can we protect you? Because Blue always protects Blue. How can we protect you from getting in trouble? Oh, let's just say you thought it was a taser. Dumb idea, but for them it worked because they're fucking dumb.
Well, she does say it in the video where she does say it, like she's announcing to everyone that she has the taser out. Like she's saying taser, taser, taser. That's what they say, but it's like you look at it, like you're holding it, look at it. You know it's not a taser. Like it's your fucking gun. Like, anyway, whatever. Like, well, sorry.
But I think this kind of like leads nicely onto the closing statement that I'm going to give. Which
Are you going to be okay, bud?
I'm building myself up to it.
You seem fired up at the beginning of this.
I am. Yeah. And
the glow on your forehead grew three sizes this day.
But because it puts it into perspective. So like we were talking about LA specifically, and this is all happening in Minnesota, and it wasn't until I was reading that George Floyd's girlfriend was Duante Wright's teacher.
Yes,
it's happening in a community, but it is always affecting and impacting the community because this is a community of people every time, and it's. Man, I'm gonna fucking go off.
Like, why would you stop for a cop? He's gonna fucking shoot you.
And that's what Watts was too. Stop? Watts was
no, I'm out of here, dude.
Watts was a guy, and he pulled over drunk, for drunk driving, quote unquote. And the community getting involved, and then it happened with in that community, a pregnant woman got dragged out of her car, and it starts with the community. Like, you're 100% on the fucking ball. Like it's affecting fucking people who know each other. Like,
right. And these communities are under siege. And
I had an employee once that literally, like, I had to call the cops for a certain situation. It was like a theft ring where like people steal from your store all the time. But
I get that a lot. Yeah.
A crime ring or something like that. And I had to call the cops once just to, make a report for like a big like grab and run because they stole a bunch of stuff off my front table and ran. So I called the cops. And this one girl that I worked with, I'll never forget it. She was like, when they get here, let me know because I need to go in the back because I have very, very intense anxiety when police are around me because they fucking abused my mom when I was young. I saw it.
Fuck.
And I was like, hey, guess what? Like, stay clocked in. Go take like a 3-hour lunch. I don't give a fuck what you're gonna do. Like, even I'm not gonna be the one that makes you see that person, makes you see a cop when they walk in. Yeah. Like, just take a 3-hour lunch, go see a movie. I don't give a fuck. Stay clocked in. Doesn't matter. But I'm not letting you cross paths with something that gives you that much trauma. And like, that's what they do though. They deliver trauma because they don't prevent any crime. They come when crimes happen.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like they come when something bad happens, so we relate them with bad, and they don't handle it properly. So get the fuck, like, what are you doing here? Get the fuck out of here. I'll call the fire department. Those guys are great. I'll call the EMTs. Those guys are great. Yeah. I'll call any of the other, like, publicly funded services that our taxes pay for. But I swear to God, my taxes should not pay for a fucking tank for the Irvine Police Department. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, literally, like, one of the men, like, the black men last year that was killed, like, during, like, you know, June, July, during all this, was literally, like, down the street from my house. Like, killed by the cops. Like, it's fucking crazy. It's crazy.
Like, right, let me have at them. I want to.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Mark, so, turn, baby.
I'm fucking ready.
Let's take a quick break. Yeah. We never had an episode like this, but let's take a quick break.
Let me tag Mark in real quick. Mark, you want to tag in?
Tag me in, CJ.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Justice Time Machine. We appreciate it very much so. I want to take this opportunity to also appreciate another person. I hope that line of logic followed. His name is Johnny Nittle, and he is the person responsible for doing all of our music. He did our theme song, he does all the transitions, and we couldn't be happier with his work. We think it's, like, absolutely wonderful. It's one of the greatest things that's happened to our podcast since it started. It's actually sounding much more professional and just all around better. So you should absolutely give me your business. Go to johnnyrk.com. That's Johnny RK, JohnnyRK.com. Or you can find him on all social media at Johnny RK. Go to Johnny Nittle, give him your money. He deserves every penny. Thank you, Johnny, and we'll see you next time.
All right, everybody sit down.
Sit the fuck down.
Hey, Mark, you're not my boss, dude.
He is now, baby boy.
For the next 15 to 20 minutes, I am.
Okay. Mark was my boss for a while, though.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to just dive into this because... So I think it's fair to say that this episode, research-wise... contemplating it, think, you know, really wanting to approach it in the most sensitive way possible, but in a way that also honors the people that have suffered, and I wanted to make myself a little uncomfortable.
Hey, because good for you, man.
I think we all need to feel uncomfortable.
We all should
Right, so I'm going to start off by saying that as a privileged white male, I have zero faith in the police and judiciary system in this country.
Yeah.
So I could not possibly understand or imagine what it must therefore feel like or how exhausting it must be to be a person of color in America.
Yeah.
I can't even begin because I'm just not there.
I feel like you more than us, because like you're from a country who has a better police system like than we do, like,
right? But the truth of it is I've been here 7 years and I want to stay here, and I see my future here.
Yeah,
and I think, you know,
can we reevaluate what it means to be like a person of color and kind of redefine it as just targeted,
right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think that's the most important part, is that they're not a person of color in America. They're a targeted person of color in America.
Absolutely. Honestly, the more I was thinking about it, I was like, it breaks my fucking heart that we are discussing a topic and we are covering a timeline that goes from 1965 and way beyond, you know, way before that. But yeah. we're talking about events from 1965, from 1992. And staring down the barrel of regular repeat cases that are either hauntingly similar or unfortunately just plain worse. Like, things have gotten worse. They haven't gotten better. And that's the, like, everybody just needs to wake up and fucking realize that.
Yeah.
And it's I'm a very fact driven person, which is why I was the fact checker for a while. Right.
Exactly. So you got the job you got.
That's how I got the job. You start out as one thing. And
we looked at Mark's resume and it was all fact.
It was just all fact. But it's it. So one thing that really bothers me about anything to do with police brutality and use of excessive force, it's actually impossible to surmount. You know, in terms of numbers, just how. You know, how many times brutality or unnecessary acts of violence has occurred by the police that has either led to life-altering injuries, like what Rodney King endured, because he was, you know, he suffered head, I mean, they fractured his skull and he suffered head injuries that, you know, had massive repercussions throughout his life. Or even just... you know, leading to death because the government has not ever provided this type of data.
Yeah.
And in the wake of the killing of Michael Brown Jr. in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014, Congress actually passed the Death in Custody Reporting Act. But we are now in 2021 and there is no system that tracks these cases in place. So it's great, Congress passed the act, but there is fuck all that's been done about it, right?
So like who polices the police? Who watches the watchmen? It's the same shit.
Who watches the watchmen,
And the reason for that, guys, is because there is no consequences if your police department doesn't report those numbers.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like you need a fucking... You need a peer system and a fucking chief who gives a fuck.
Right. Yeah. So it's left to organizations such as a group called Mapping Police Violence, who have actually tried to piece numbers together themselves. And their data shows that Black Americans were killed at 3 times the rate of white Americans between 2013 and 2019. And during that time, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Stephon Clark, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd were all killed. And while we, like as we've been saying throughout this episode, we're at a weird precipice of, you know, we're going to be finding out by the end of the next week the results of the Derek Chauvin case.
Yeah.
No other police.
I swear to God, if it's not a positive result, like positive for like him being like incarcerated, it's going to fucking explode.
It's going to be the same shit that we've just been talking about. It's going to be Minnesota erupting the way that LA did.
Yeah.
And no other officers involved in any of those other deaths of the people I just read out were prosecuted. And CJ made a very good point that he called them murderers, and that's exactly what they are.
They are murderers.
It's legal murder, dude. That's what it is, right? Yeah.
It is. Like
they're literally getting away with murder. It's like a fucking early Stephen King novel when he was doing a bunch of cocaine. It's just like legal murder and like, hey, wouldn't that be funny? And now it's come to life and it's not fucking funny.
Right. Yeah. And then that's the point though, is we keep hearing that the system is broken, but it's not. The system is doing exactly what it was designed to do.
Yeah.
And it cannot, in my opinion, it cannot be allowed to fix itself. Like the police can't fix the police, and the same way that the judicial system can't fix itself. We've gone too far in like the wrong direction for that to be the fix, right? So unfortunately, I'm going to say this, but police officers in this country who have killed unarmed persons of color have faced zero consequences. In 1993, Stacey Kuhn and Lawrence Powell, two of the four officers in the King case, were found guilty of violating King's civil rights. They both served.
That's it?
Yep. They violated his civil rights for beating him senseless. They both served 30 months in prison.
Oh, great.
And did not return to the police force. And they no longer live in California. Because they're cowards.
Yeah, because they should be living in hell.
But a 30-month police, a 30-month sentence is the same thing about, like, if you're in the wrong state, finding a gram of fucking weed on you. It's not, it's not enough to convince somebody to not cause harm.
Right. And then the other two officers, Timothy Wind and Theodore Brasino, were both fired by the LAPD and no longer live in California because they're cowards. because they live in fear. All four of those officers live in fear. And good. And in some respects, great. Fucking
great.
Like,
good
I'm
for
glad
them.
That they do.
Yeah.
But just to kind of finish off where CJ had got to, so like after the civil trial had happened, Rodney King was awarded a settlement. He bought a modest house for his mother and one for himself in an LA suburb. And he occasionally spoke at risk kids at the request of the local police. And then he unfortunately struggled with alcohol abuse his whole life. His father was an alcoholic. And after the beating that he received, it obviously didn't get any better.
Yeah.
Like
he
was on a, you know, a path of destruction. And he told NPR in April 2012 that his sobriety was a work in progress. And at that point in time, he was engaged to be married and then died in June.
Jesus.
And he was a skilled swimmer and surfer, but was found unconscious at the bottom of his swimming pool. So obviously didn't.
Wait, what?
He was murdered.
Well, so no, unfortunately, his autopsy reported drugs and alcohol were in his system at the time of his death.
Oh, he was forced to murder. It's not suicide. He was forced to murder himself because the implications were too severe. Like,
yeah, so he got too fucked up and got in the pool.
Like,
right.
I think that, like, the is there a term that can we coin the term, like, justice boner, where, like, I'm like the best story I've ever heard in my life is where a crooked cop goes to the same prison that he put all those people in. Like, he has to go to the prison.
That doesn't happen though.
Like, serve time. But like, it's just like we need that though, Cody.
Yeah,
like,
of course. So
I just think that like a crooked cop going to prison gives me the biggest fucking boner you've ever seen in your life.
There needs to be a system where, like, if a cop gets accused of something, like, they track down the last person they convicted and they go to that prison.
Like, and they go to that prison. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then you have to do the thing that you thought was so cool to put somebody in.
Yeah.
Because there's no consequences. And that's what Mark's talking about. There's no fucking checks and balances. There's no consequences. What they're doing is signing people on death sentences without really realizing the implications. And then, you know, just signing a piece of paper and like sending somebody's life away without really like understanding what that means. Like, sending somebody to prison, even if it's like a 2-year sentence, could be a life sentence based on, like, you know, the social aspect of prison.
Yeah.
Right. Well, look, I mean, not to go, so I know I'm now going kind of like macro level with this.
No, go wherever you want to go,
like,
man.
It was necessary. So like, what hasn't changed ever, not even for like a minute, in my opinion, is the fight and the struggle and the need for equality.
Yeah.
And there was a quote that I read in the LA Times when I was doing research related to the King case particularly, and a lady called Brenda Stevenson said that race, perhaps more than any other variable, continues to divide us all. If that were not true, how could we tolerate the differences in resources, well-being, and protections that place Black people in such an unenviable and vulnerable position in our society?
Damn.
And I was like, that right there.
Yeah, damn.
Fucking end the podcast.
Yeah.
But this, and the structure doesn't work. Like, African Americans have played an undeniably pivotal role in the evolution in the building of this country, from the fucking American Revolution to the Civil Rights Movement. And at every turn, we have failed to evolve an environment at an equal rate that is fit and fair to them.
Yeah.
And we collectively fail them every single day. That, like, unjust incarceration rates, disabling families by a lack of access to adequate education, stagnating communities by not investing in appropriate social programs, and the fucking mic drop is the allowing officers of the law to beat them senseless or to end their lives in the most obscene, unjust ways with embarrassing ease.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that really fucking gets you. And this country tolerates loss of life based on skin color.
Well, dude, Mark, like, the last person to be lynched by the Ku Klux Klan was in 1981, 3 years prior to the Olympics in Los Angeles County. Like, it's insane how ingrained racism is to this country.
Yeah.
And how people, yeah, like, literally, like,
It is this country.
It was born on racism, and it exists on racism. But, like, there's people trying to make it a better place, but just like I said earlier, like, we're not good if we don't try to,
like,
reverse it.
Okay, like, I'm sorry, like, maybe I don't know the answer to this, but I'm just gonna ask, is, okay, so, like, the last year in 2020, I think it was 2020, yeah, like, no, it was 2020, the fucking three fucking redneck pieces of shit who shot that black man jogging in their fucking neighborhood.
Right.
Did they ever fucking, like, did they get accused of anything? Like, did we ever hear about it? I remember hearing about it. We never heard about anything ever again.
But the United States Congress came up with a rule called the Stand Your Ground Rule, which meant you get to kill whoever you want if they're on your property. So we reversed it even more so.
Yeah.
To make it okay to fucking be racist. The Stand Your Ground Rule is the most racist piece of shit rule I've ever heard of. Like,
yeah.
It means you get to be fucking terrified. Be terrified. I'm always terrified. I love being terrified. It's my favorite thing. It keeps me sharp.
Ahmaud Arbery is the gentleman.
Exactly. Ahmaud Arbery.
Be scared. You should be.
I don't know how that court case went. Those three men, that fucking dad and his fucking son and whoever the fuck they were, they should be committed to death. That's my fucking stance.
I don't know what
happened with their case, but I remember them going to court, and then I don't remember ever hearing anything of fucking about, like, what happened.
I think I don't know if it's fully come to fruition or just, like, I mean,
I just had a really good idea. Okay, so flush the middle and just put California and New York together.
Okay. Well, I mean, we just talked about all the shit in California, so,
like what if it was
maybe from Nevada over?
There's no trial day has been set for those three.
Really? They haven't even had a trial?
No, it takes fucking forever to get anything through the courts in this country. It's like, that's the thing. Is like,
I don't get it.
It just gives them plenty of, it gives the defense time. It gives people that don't deserve time.
How have they not gone to court yet? How is that possible? They shot a man in the street.
Right.
For no reason. That's murder.
Yeah.
Yeah. They shot a guy jogging.
But the thing is, though, dude, if those three people went to prison, you know, faced some serious prosecution, whatever the case, that's because they're not police officers.
Jesus fucking Christ.
They're not, you are protected. And I was reading, it is that because of, you know, so many different laws and state versus federal, all of that stuff, it's very difficult to actually, like, what's happening with the Derek Chauvin case took forever to get in motion.
Yeah, it did. It's George Floyd was a long time ago. Now.
Right.
Yeah.
And it takes so damn long to get anything done, which is another fucking reason.
Doesn't make any sense. This fucking judicial system doesn't make any fucking sense.
No. And like I said before, it's communities, it's families, it's individuals that are, you know, that suffer. And this was a tough episode, but it's like I said at the start, like, we have to feel like a sense of uncomfortability about all of this because
yeah, I do. This fucking shit sucks.
Well, I think on that fact is like we have to feel responsible too. It's like we're not doing anything to help it, and I think that's like the point.
Right.
I think that you know being privileged is a responsibility, and like doing nothing, like I said, yeah. is avarice. It's and not avarice, is it indifference? It's,
yeah,
you know, if we don't say something, you know, nobody will, or it's just gonna be easier and easier for you know the blue to protect blue. So let's just say it, like let's just say it out and outright, like let's just get it out there on the table. Fuck 12, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
yeah. And there's, you know, like change.org is a great site to go to.
Yeah, no, I've donated to a few BLM communities.
Yeah, I think it's.
I did one for a BLM trans community that I'm really happy about.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah, that's awesome. That's really yeah, great. there was a few victims of the BLM trans community that was like really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, like, I guess, you know, just anyone listening to this, just go out there and be a better fucking person.
Yeah, like, be a better person than the fucking yeah. cops. Like,
hold fuck. Up your fellow man and don't.
Well, I think the point is, like, know your rights. Don't say shit. Keep your mouth closed. Don't give the cops anything. You don't owe them anything.
Yeah.
Right. Keep your mouth shut. Do whatever they want and hire a fucking good lawyer. I think that's the best advice I could ever give. Hire a lawyer and keep your mouth shut because they're going to try to book you on something, but don't give them fucking anything in whatever situation you're in. Keep your mouth shut, get a lawyer.
Yeah. Are we going to fade out to NWA? Like, is that
yes.
Yeah. 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 Talk to police coming straight from the underground.
Yeah, no, we definitely are. All right, guys. Well, that was fucking great. Mark, good job, dude. CJ, you rock.
Oh, Cody, you rock too. I love yeah. you both. You're my Thanks. Favorite two. You're my favorite two pieces of shit. I love you guys so much.
Yeah, I've never felt so comfortable being uncomfortable with two other people.
Oh man.
All right, guys.
If only this was a Zoom, I'd hug you both. Cody, I know you won't want it, but I'd give you
I
one.
Don't want it. I don't want it. Hug yourself, you piece of shit.
All right. I do it twice a day, my friend.
All right, well, I'm Cody.
I'm Mark.
DJ. Oh, fuck you, Mark. You coming in second, baby?
I no, from now on, like, whoever says their name first, I'm going to try and fuck the other one up so bad by, like...
All right, Cody, do it again, and Mark, right. you go ahead.
I'm Cody.
I'm Mark.
I'm CJ.
Okay, bye.